Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yaffa, Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Baba Kama Mem Zayin, Baba Kama 47a, pagination is 93. We're starting from the Mishnah, about 8 lines from the bottom. Hakador, a potter, Shehichnis Kiderosov Lechotzer Balabayis, who brought his pots into the yard of a certain homeowner, Shalom Bereshus. He did this without permission. He started storing his things in the other person's yard. V'shibra behemto shabal abayis, and the animal of the homeowner broke the pots. Potter. The homeowner will be potter because he did not accept upon himself to guard his animal from damaging these pots. V'mhuska bohen, and if the animal of the homeowner got damaged from these pots, balakderos chayiv, the owner of the pots will be obligated to pay because he introduced a problem to the other person's private area. Vimhichnis birashus, had he brought the pots in with permission, balachotzer chayiv, then the owner of the yard would be obligated to pay if his animal damaged these pots. And obviously, if the animal got damaged on the pots, the owner of the pots would not have to pay because he introduced it with permission. That's a somewhat simpler case than the next. It's pots. Hichnis peirosav lechotzer balabayis. Let's say he brought fruit into produce into the yard, shelo bereshus, without permission. Ve'ochlosan behemto shabal abayis, potter, and the animal ate it. So then the homeowner is not going to have to pay, and that's very similar to the first scenario, which was that in some way the animal damaged the product. So the product in the first case was pots, in this case it's produce. Fine. Vimhuska bohen, but if the animal got damaged in them, balaperos chayiv, the owner of the produce is obligated to pay for the damage, again because he didn't have permission to bring the produce in. Vimhichnes bershus, balachotzer chayiv, had he had permission, then the animal's eating would obligate the animal's owner to pay for the produce. And likewise, by extension, if the animal got hurt, then the owner of the produce would not be obligated to pay because it was introduced with permission. We're going to focus on the case where the animal got damaged. And notably, there are two types of damage that could occur to an animal as a result of produce. One is that it ate too much. It damaged itself. The food wasn't good for it. Another is that it slipped on the produce, which would be very similar to the first case mentioned regarding the pots. Let's turn over where the Gemara explains this case. On the last small line, Hichnis peirosav lechotzer balabayis, if a person brought in his produce to the yard of the homeowner, Amar Rav, Rav explained, Lo shanu elo shehuchleka bohen. The reason that the owner of the produce has to pay for the damage that was done to the animal was because it slipped on the produce. Aval achla, but if the animal ate the produce and thereby got damaged, potter, the owner of the produce does not have to pay. My taima, why not? Havala shalo tochal, the animal should, I guess, be sensible enough not to eat food that does it damage. And therefore, Rav says, when we understand the Mishnah, Huchlika bohen, it got damaged. Huzka bohen, it got damaged in them. It's talking about huchlika, that it slipped. But had it got damaged from eating, it is its own responsibility. The Gemara later on will explain that that's actually meduyak in the Mishnah, because it says, huska bohen, it got damaged in them. In them means the item is in existence, and it is the term that would be used for slipping on it. Amar Rav Sheshes said, Amina, I say, kinayim v'shochiv Rav amar lahashemaita. Rav must have been drowsy when he said such a statement of distinction. In other words, I don't agree with what he said at all. Rav is making a distinction between eating and slipping, and saying that if the animal ate and got damaged, then there is no responsibility on the owner of the produce. Rav Sheshes says that's not correct. Detanya, as we learned, Hanosin sam hamoves lefnei behemas chaveiro, a person who puts a poison in front of the animal of his fellow, and the animal eats it and dies, potter midine adam v'chayev bidine shamayim, he's going to be potter in the earthly court, and he's going to be obligated on a heavenly level. And Rav Sheshes said, I'm reading this brisa, and it seems to indicate, sam hamoves hu delo avida de'ochla. The reason you're absolved on the earthly court is because it's poison, and it's not normal for an animal to eat poison. So because it was a trick, so in heaven there's an obligation. But on an earthly, simple understanding of it, the animal should not have eaten the poison, and therefore he doesn't have to pay. Avoperos, but had it been fruit, da'avida da'achla, that's normal for the animal to eat, b'dinei adam nami mechayiv, there should also be an obligation in the earthly court. Ve'amai, and according to Rav, one can easily argue, havya lo shelo tochal, the animal should not have eaten. It brought the problem on itself. And the Gemara resolves this and says that Rav is correct. Hu adin afilu peros nami potter, even fruit, produce, there would be potter because the animal should not have eaten it. The concept here is that sam hamoves, by a poison which is not normally eaten, there is a heavenly obligation. That trick comes with some level of liability, at least on a moral level. V'ibayaseima, a second approach is, sam hamoves nami, even the poison was talking about something that looks like regular food. Be'afrazta dahainu piri, there was a certain type of grass which the Gemara identifies as something that people would eat. It would be considered a food. It would be around as a food, but if an animal would eat it, it would kill it. Apparently, presumably, a different chemical makeup causes such a thing. I once had an interesting incident with an ant infestation just around the time of Pesach, and the exterminator company put in little crumbs which were poison to the ants in little boxes that only an ant can crawl in. And I realized afterwards that Pesach is less than a week away, and I've got these crumbs designated in my house. Am I allowed to keep them there through Pesach? So I called the company, and I asked them, are these crumbs poison? And the gentleman said, it's hard to say that they're poison. They're a special chemical makeup that would kill an ant. It would break down its nervous system. But it's a special chemical compound so that it should not be poison to people, because we're always nervous that maybe a child will get to it and eat it. We don't want to have something that would be poison on a human level. So it's poison to an ant, but it's not poison to a person. So I had the question, am I allowed to keep it in my house during Pesach? So I called the posek, and he invoked the concept that if chametz is designated in a way that it's like a stool, you paint it. So even though its origin was chametz, but it's no longer a food product. And that's approached differently. And here also, even if one promises me that it's not poison on a human level, but certainly it's been designated as such, and no one has any intent of eating it, it's a product now, it's not a food anymore. And therefore he allowed me to keep it in the house during Pesach. Now there's one more nuance we want to do. Meisvei, a question was asked. Ha'isha shenichnasa litchon chitim etzal balabayis, shalo berishus. A woman came in to a person's area to grind the grain, make flour, but she didn't have permission to be there. She's waiting online to use the grindstone. And Tosfos points out, even though it's the homeowner's advantage that she's coming because he's going to get paid, nevertheless, she came in without permission. V'achlosan behemto shabalabayis, potter, and if the homeowner's animal ate the grain, he's not going to have to pay for it because she came in without permission. V'mhuska chayeves. But if the animal got hurt, there's going to be obligation on the woman to pay for the damage done to the homeowner's animal. And the Gemara wonders, why is there liability if the damage came from eating too much? Why don't you invoke Rav's rule, Havala Shelo Tochal, the animal should not have eaten? And the Gemara says, here also we will answer that the damage that was done to the animal was that it tripped on the produce, not that it ate and got damaged, but rather that it slipped on it. And the Gemara wonders, why couldn't we have realized that right away? Why was this considered a kasha? It's the same case as the Mishnah. Damage was done, and Rav is saying damage through slipping, not through eating. And the Gemara answers because there was one word different in this braisa. It doesn't say huzka bohen. As I mentioned earlier in our discussions, huzka bohen, damaged in them, infers that the item's still around. It means the kind of damage that it did was through slipping. Over here, the word bohen is missing. And therefore, we thought that we would understand this braisa, that it's huzka by eating. And the Gemara says, here also, you should give the same answer, even though it's not as miduyak, it's not as perfect in the wording, but also here, huzka means huzka by slipping and not by eating. In the case of eating, as described in Shulchan Aruch Shin Tzadi Gimel Beis, if the animal got damaged by eating, Potter Mipnei Shehayala Shalot Tochal. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.